And this is a prime example of it. There is no way you can complete 400 hours in 30 days. The most you can do is supposed to be, what is it, 40 hours a week, but then you'd have little projects you can do on the weekends, but there's no way 100 hours can be completed. I mean, there's just no way to justify that.
Could it be completed in 2 months? It doesn't show date on it. So if it was November 1 through the end of December, is that possible or is that still a stretch? Because I understand where you're coming from.
160 hours a month is, would be the max. It's still kind of like, even if you pushed it, I could see 180 here or there, but this is like that. In 2 months, that means basically if they went to that school, it could be done in 1,200 hours or 4 months, you could be done with school. That's impossible.
Are there specific rules related to how many hours can be completed per month?
I think it's 56 hours a week. And I think the other interesting thing, Marshall, too, right? This person is actually already, this person is licensed in Mexico, correct? And they did a 1200 hour program in Mexico. So the learning, even though I see on here shows us hair cutting, the learning really is supposed to be around infection prevention and our laws in Arizona, correct?
Yeah, and a refresher.
And a refresher.
56 hours a week, and that was an 8.5 week period, it's 476 hours.
And the requirement, sorry, back to that point, it's 250 hours, correct? 350 hours.
And you said it's 56 hours? Where's the, what are you going under?
I didn't say that correctly.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's in.
In our Arizona administrative code, it says that in school, they could do up to 56 hours a week.
No.
No more than.
Our reg, the average is 40, and then we had projects on the weekend, but yeah, that's just.
Well, that would be 2 8-hour days on the weekend. So that would be 56 hours.
Well, the way it used to be broken down was for, well, for schools and they, and the rules, it was basically like breakdowns 40 hours a week, like the regular work. Cause anything over that was considered overtime. And so it was always one of those, like, yeah, here or there, but if you guys want to let it go through, just bringing it up.
No, I think it's thoughtful. Glad you put to the date. We do have an active motion on the table though, to approve licensure. So, I'm going to call a vote on that and see unless there's any additional discussion or comment.
Yeah. And the only reason I brought that up was a previous, I don't know if we can, the Attorney General, there have been previous issues brought up with that school specifically in the past. So that's why soon that name popped up, it was like they were known for doing certain things and then we have to come back and correct it later. So that's why I was just like.
Is there,
you guys.
Is there a question? So you said that because the 400 hours are hair cutting, does that mean that there is something missing from the application in terms of infection protection? Or this is what was already completed? So.
Yeah, that, the completed hour that the school officially sent in for him.
Okay. And so he, the infection protection reference is something they do at
something that they do within that 350 hour course. It is 350 hours. It is 400. What I do is accept whatever the school is giving because that's coming directly from the school, not from the applicant himself.
Okay.
So I take that as a standing document, the standing.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. So we, our motion on the board was to approve the application request for Jose Gutierrez. It was Guzman Glover motion with, I think, Tracy, or maybe it was, I don't know, second, I forgot who seconded it. But all those in favor of the approval, please say aye. All those opposed, say nay.
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 Nay. Okay. And any abstentions? None. Okay, so the motion has failed. So the other option is to continue to discuss, or I'll accept another motion.
Is it possible for Lakeisha to reach back out and get additional information from the school about stuff?
Trying to get like an itemized statement of what you've done, and
And the actual dates that they started, because I agree with Brand or with Marshall, there's no way if he started November 15th and finished December 15th that you can get 400 hours. But if it was like a beginning to end, maybe more information would be.
Yeah, even that. And then with the other thing, for me personally, you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, so you worked on all of those.
Yeah. I mean, there was still a wiggle room if you went by the 56th snap the week. It was 476 hours, but that's still really close, I feel like. So.
Okay, so is it an option? Is a motion option to continue this until we have more information?
Yes, you can continue the matter, table the matter, and allow staff to have to follow up.
And one other thing, just to note on that, I guess the next thing we could, they could get 56 hours. My thing would be to look at the school's hours. That school is open on Sundays and Mondays. How did it happen?
So then I guess it's an investigator.
Okay, so do we have a motion to any action motion for this? Kate?
Guzman Glover moves that we continue this for staff to gather more information related to the universal applicant.
Okay, we have a motion to continue this matter while staff does an investigation into that hour.
We'll be in a second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes, and the outcome is for Jose Gutierrez's application to be reviewed by staff, and the consideration is continued. All right, so at this point, we are at the informal interview portion of our agenda, and I did have a request for a quick break, so we will break for, let's say, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Any interest, any thoughts? 10 minutes? Let's do a 10-minute break, and we will resume at
10:25.
All right, I'm going to call the April Harboring and Cosmetology Board meeting back to order. Thanks, everyone, for coming back right on time. We're going to start the informal interview portion of the agenda. So I have a script to read, make sure everyone is on the same page, and then I believe we do swearing in of staff. Is that right?
Part of the script.
Oh, good. Okay. So it is now 10. We don't have any time that we're waiting for.
Oh, you're good.
On the agenda. Okay. Actually, before I begin that portion, do we have Rosa tell us what cases will come before us, or is it after the script? I can't recall.
You decide.
Actually, Rosa, why don't you tell us the story with the section first, and then I will go forward with it.
Okay, yes. As Rosa Rodriguez, Compliance Administrator, so for Section 8, Step 2A, without negotiation options, we'd have none. Step 2B, with negotiation options, we have the following: attending in person or virtually. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Number 9 is unresolved. 10 is unresolved. 11 unresolved. 12 unresolved. 13 unresolved. 14 will be attending. 15 unresolved. 16 unresolved and 17 unresolved.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is now 10:27 a.m. on August, April 19th. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's review of cases scheduled for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32573. My name is Brandy Flores. I'm a public member and the acting chair today. And the other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a public member or a professional member. So let's start with Tracy.
Tracy Wilkinson, professional.
I'm Brandon McFadden, professional board.
Marshall Knox, professional board.
Brandy Flores, public member.
Tristan Guzman Glover, public member.
All right, thank you. Also,
public member.
Apologies.
That's why.
Also present is the board's executive director, Frank McGauley, and the board's attorney, Gene Galvin, from the Arizona Attorney General's Office, Frank and Gene. So when your case is called, please unmute your phone if you're virtual by pressing star six. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask those speaking not to take time repeating information that the board has already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report, or 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a civility policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberation. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt that process. So at this point, I'd like to swear in board staff. At this time, I'll swear in staff members who will be testifying today. Will the following compliance team members please stand and raise your right hand? Rosa Rodriguez, Helen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Alexandra Hill, and Kathy Bergeron. Hello. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, Rosa Rodriguez.
I do, Helen Bordelon.
I do, Lisa Chavez.
I do, Alexandra Hill.
I do, Kathy Bergeron.
Thank you so much. Before we begin, I want to advise everyone that this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. To ensure we have an accurate record, please say your name each time before speaking. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and to decide the outcomes. The licensees have received a notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the informal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. All right, so with that, we will move in to case number one, Yul Peralta, number BAR0111059, manager Gabrielle Santana, owner. Will staff please give us a brief summary of the case?
We need to swear that.
Yeah,
we did that.
Swear
the people in.
I thought we do that after when they come up.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
And Madam Acting Chair, we do have an interpreter for this case, which was provided by the board staff.
Fantastic. Hello. Thank you so much for being here.
Interpreter.
Fantastic. Will the licensee please come forward and state your name for the record? All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My name is Gabriel Santana.
Gabriel Santana, owner and manager at the time.
Thank you. If you could please raise your right hand, I will now place you under oath. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you. So to Helen, if you could please provide a brief summary of the case.
Good morning, Acting Chair, members of the board. My name is Helen Bordelon. On April 28, 2023, I conducted an inspection of Duty Bar by Liz, located in Tucson, Arizona. Yul Peralta identified himself as the manager at the time of the inspection. According to the board's database, the establishment was unlicensed and they were providing both barbering and cosmetology services. There were seven licensees working at the time of the inspection. As you can see by the report, those cases have already been closed. On June 5th of 2023, the barber establishment license was approved for Beauty Bar by Liz, and it now expires on June 30th, 2024. On July 19th, 2023, the salon application was approved for an establishment license for cosmetology, and it expired now on July 19th, 2024. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you, Helen. Just to clarify for my purposes, it was never established, or there was no establishment license at all proceeding at any time?
Correct.
Okay.
At the time of inspection, they were on my.
All right, so if you could share with us your explanation of the circumstances.
Absolutely. In la circunstancias de estar usando opciones. Porque no solo tenía la licencia.
Porque la licencia estaba.
License was in process.
Nada más que hacía falta unos documentos para completar la información.
Because there was just missing some documents to complete the license.
Y se avisó no en el tiempo.
We did not notify at the time or on time.
Por eso tardó un poquito más.
That's why it took a little longer to obtain the license.
El salón ya estaba trabajando bajo el dueño cuando tenía su licencia correcta.
The shop was already working with the licenses with the previous owner at the time that was.
Y cuando cambió de dueño.
And when he changed owner.
Con la licencia estaba en proceso.
And when he changed to ownership, the license were already in process.
Okay, so Helen, in our record, does it show that there was a license under a previous owner, or is that invisible?
Yeah, that's the chair member of the board. Prior to being DD Bar, I lived on another establishment, and there was a license posted, but it was an ownership change, and that license had already expired. That was technically my license establishment for both barbering and.
Okay, and during, and when you arrived and it was an unlicensed establishment, was there already an application partially submitted?
I don't see that information.
Okay.
I only see that on June 5th, is when the barber's license was approved, and on July 19th is when the cosmetology license was approved, and my inspection was.
It, I don't know if it's possible to know, but from my opinion, it'd be helpful to know if there was an initiated application for either barbering or salon. Are we able to see that? Okay. Just to know, you know, to verify that. But board members, please, if there's any discussion items or questions for Helen or Yul.
Any previous history? McFadden speaking.
I think we can't add that until after we've done this.
You have to do the first motion first.
But let's wait and see if there was an initiation of the license. So I, to clarify, you had initiated a new license application for barbering and cosmetology prior to the investigator's arrival at the salon? Yeah.
Do we know what month they applied?
Do you happen to know what month that is, that was?
February 16th.
Okay.
Oh, the 2020.
Do we may need to swear in this additional person. Hi, could you join us? What's your name?
Joanna.
Hi, Joanna. And what role do you have at the salon?
I pretty much manage like all the licenses and bills and everything.
Okay, thank you. I just have to swear you in to be able to provide testimony. So do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And say to me.
Joanna.
Thank you. Okay. And so we were asking about when those applications were initiated. You said it was in February of 2023?
Yeah.
So.
Sorry.
Which.
Helen, can I ask? So you went in and they had a license posted for the previous owner.
And the lights imposed with the previous owner, you said that one was already expired.
Yeah, my understanding is life is the previous owner was expired, but they're telling us that they had already submitted an application for a new license, but it wasn't complete. Apparently, there was missing forms. We're verifying when that actually happened.
Are you trying to find it?
Ms. Flory?
Yeah.
This location, life professional, so the application we have is May 7, 2023.
Is when it was, the application was submitted?
Yes.
For barbering and cosmetology?
Just for barbering.
Yes, for barbering. And the cosmetology one was submitted when? So I think what we're trying to get at is when you attempted to begin licensure, I recognize there are some challenges with processing those, but help us understand the truthfulness here.
I found it.
Okay.
It's March 27, 2023.
For salon license or barber license?
For salon application, conservation or LLC.
So that's not our license, though.
Oh.
That's LLC application through Corporation Commission.
So are we working with an LLC right now?
Not the way they're licensed, no.
Okay. So it sounds like it sounds like the way you have your license now, it's not through an LLC, and what you're referring to may be the LLC licensure, which is through the Arizona Corporation Commission and isn't the salon or establishment license or barbering license. And so in our record, it's showing that May was the initiation for the barbering license. I think it's what Lakeisha said, and she's checking on the cosmetology, which would have come after the inspection in question here.
Remember, I'm sorry, I had tried to get out of the license because I kept calling, and that's kind of kept going through different people, and they were telling me, oh, we need this, we need that, and then we submitted and managed to, but then time we didn't hear anything, and we were originally waiting for the license. And then that's when I actually went to shoot in the next month. There was something there.
Okay. So board, any other questions or motions here?
Those have been questioned. At the moment where the inspection was made, I was not the person in charge of the establishment. So they probably at that moment that I had to. They had to be a person in charge until the license would come. But at no moment they told me that it was going to be affecting me due to the license. Well, I understood at that moment. So if the following inspections would follow, then later on I would be in charge or I would be responsible. But they did not explain to me that it would be at that moment. Which I did not understand.
Okay, so you were not the owner at the time? Who was the owner?
I'm sorry, what was the question? Gabrielle is the owner, and he's the managing person right now. And at the time, he was not aware that the establishment had to have license in order for him to continue working.
Okay.
It wouldn't affect his license. Maybe with the lack of my understanding, or I did not understand the situation.
I just heard two things. I heard. You weren't the boss at the time.
Usted no era el jefe en este momento.
Yo trabajo rento.
I only rent my station. And my license was my license was not a two-hour.
But you had already applied for an establishment license, but you weren't the owner?
Pero usted ya había aplicado para el establecimiento.
El cabrón.
The shop, yes. The new owner establishment, that's because apparently Gabriel is the owner. He was just renting the site where he was working, the station where he was working. But Gabriel and the person in charge of the paper.
Are you interpreting or offering your version of what has been said? I feel as though you are not strictly interpreting, but you are further clarifying what has been said. And yeah, excuse me, but you need to say that your role.
Yo tengo que venir y solo decir los factores no es correcto. No tengo que dar por más que no.
Okay, so let's start fresh.
Okay.
Okay, so in April, when the investigator arrived, who owned the salon?
James and Gabriel dueño del salón. Gabriel.
Okay, no, you can speak. Sure, you can speak.
He had gone for training to my salon, which is open under the hair shop. And it was working, they had me like over the room. So he had the opportunity to buy the salon, so he bought it. And it was the first time over. I was helping him. And he told me, all the practices, that we had done them right. And we started working in January. And then it showed up in April that we were already in the problem of getting our mind. As I had done it wrong.
And by he, you mean Gabriel, not Yule?
Yeah, Gabriel, he knew. So he was working there, was the previous owner, and he runs the station there. So he was working there, pretty much all the employees from the previous owner, they were working right now.
Yeah, okay, this is helpful to know, I guess, why is the complaint then under one of the staff and not the owner? Is that because the owner was not?
Because there was no license to put the owner under, that's why it ended up being under.
And according to the investigator's testimony, Mr. Peralta identified himself as manager when she was there. That's another key.
I see.
From her testimony.
And so the manager is responsible for the establishment license as well. I don't necessarily know all the nuances of manager versus owner responsibility in that aspect. Okay. So I am, what we're hearing from staff is that the manager is also responsible for ensuring that the licenses for barbering and cosmetology are active. Because Gabriel did not have any license whatsoever, there is no jurisdiction of the board. We only have jurisdiction over licensees. And so as a barber licensee and identifying self as a manager, the responsibility of the complaint has fallen to the manager of the establishment that is a license. If that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. So the penalty that staff has recommended is a $500 civil penalty. And it looks like this salon and barbering facility is up to license and fine now. And that whatever happened during the transition has been taken care of. So I guess the question before the board is how do we want to handle the lack of licensure in April of 2022? Any questions, thoughts?
I don't think the owner would be responsible.
But you can have a license, you know, we can't hold it responsible.
I only have jurisdiction over life.
But you can accept a civil penalty if someone is operating an establishment without a license.
Oh, so we can assess the civil penalty against someone who's not a licensee.
Against the establishment, yes, and now he have like.
But there was.
But he's operating an establishment without a license, without establishment can be assessed.
I would like.
Yeah, we've always been instructed otherwise. We've always been, our board attorney has always told us that if there is no license number at the time, it's an unlicensed establishment, and we don't have any jurisdiction, and if the only jurisdiction we have is the licensee itself, that's what they need to tell us. So is that incorrect?
We will continue with that.
Okay, we should continue.
For the moment.
Okay. Okay, so I, you know, because of the confusion over where jurisdiction lies, I don't wanna, I'm, you know, trying to go with the best practice of not making a motion, hoping to rely on others here, as acting chair, but. Please speak here. This sounds like a knot that has been untangled and therefore no right to the public, and there were no other sanitation violations, nothing else during your inspection.
Acting chairs, no.
This is a clean shop with a licensing problem that has been remedied. And now there are no questions of jurisdiction moving forward because of the fact that there have been a license establishment.
I move that, it's really tough. I move that we dismiss the case. That's what we've done in the past when there's a situation like this, and we've never taken action against an unlicensed establishment. We've been told we can't.
And the nuance for me is that it falls to a staff member in a managing role, which I feel like in this case seems unfair. Feels unfair to the staff member working during an ownership change.
Yeah, I think there should be a fine, but not to that person.
But no, I understand that, agree with you.
Yeah. But we're just like in a weird pickle where we can't really do anything.
Does anyone want to make a motion to dismiss or a motion?
I moved.
Oh, you did move.
My lover moved.
Okay, so we have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second motion to dismiss the case number INSC-08647. I will repeat it again at the conclusion. All those in favor of the dismissal, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Three nays and one, two, three, and any abstentions? No abstention. So it sounds like the board has a tie. So the motion has failed. So the only case that we have before us is to penalize Yul Peralta. We can't, there is, we can't, we can't, right, because there was no license number for anyone else, it's the only person who's going to be penalized in this case.
So she's saying in this case, the code. Gabriel is not on there, we can only go after you, and we've all agreed that we don't want to go after you. Our terms.
You can remove.
Can we remove?
We can move again.
Okay, so does someone want to do that?
Or do we make a second motion?
Well, the first one failed.
First one failed, so you're basically starting over now.
I think it's worth noting that there is no threat to the public at this time, and the case before us could penalize a staff member who was retained during the ownership change. And that's the only question before us.
Question McFadden, how long have they been employed there?
Two years and a month. I started working when the previous owner already had established it.
How long have they been licensed?
It's been some people here that I was sending. I cannot really recall, it's been a year.
again, to take in the responsibility, in my opinion, obviously, but I have to take in the responsibility to be an owner. The responsibility of being an owner. It shouldn't be held accountable to ownership. I understand the manager aspect does give a jurisdiction over him, but the nuance of fear, feel unfair. And in the past, we have been mistaken in the situation, but even less.
And for me, it doesn't even seem like he rents a place there. So it's not even like he's the manager of the actual establishment. He just rents from there. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the profession, so I don't know how much of a difference that makes. Versus like an owner with a manager who just runs the whole club versus people who rent.
Quick question for the inspector. It's not. The setup, is this set up like suites or like is it open or how's the layout?
I think Chairman Chinnock, it's just an open floor.
It's open, so it's not like.
Yeah, it's not.
We, okay.
Do we know how long the establishment was unlicensed with the previous owner? I am just curious.
Acting Chair. I do not know how long between the ownership change.
So like there was a light there, but it wasn't, it hadn't been expired.
But I don't know when the ownership.
If I may just.
I feel like you vote now. The only question before us is the question of the establishment license under you all, right? We can't pick any other case back in each iteration. And so, and we can't, you know, wish for a different responsible party in this case. We have to make a decision on what's before us. Does anyone want to make a motion again on this one or?
I move that we adopt the factual allegation than, I guess.
We do that, but it's the ability.
I move that we dismiss.
Okay, so we have a motion to dismiss the case.
Hold on for a second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss case number, I gotta go to page again, apologies. INP-086247. All those in favor of a motion to dismiss, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All those abstentions? All right, hearing none, motion passes in case number INP-086247, Yul Peralta, number BAR0111059. Manager, Gabriel Santana, owner, is dismissed. So just for clarification purposes, we dismissed the case recognizing that there was some unique nuances of ownership change that aren't the response or necessarily responsibility. We did not have the authority at the time to assess a fine or anything around an unlicensed establishment for the owner because there was no license to hold accountable. But we recognize that in this instance, it should not fall on your shoulders and to be responsible for that. Going forward, though, if you do identify yourself as the manager of the establishment, you are responsible for ensuring you're in compliance with all regulations when the salon is operating. All right. So thank you so much for your time and have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you for your services.
Thank you.
Okay,
I just want to find you something. I apologize for not going verbatim. I just kind of understood the situation. So I'm glad somebody explained this better than I could. And that's all I was trying to do.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to case number two, which is 2023-97 and 90187. Stated Barbershop LLC, number BBE000551. We have an LLC. Do we have an LLC attestation? Okay, and if you are on this phone, it is star six to unmute. Do we have representatives from Stated Barbershop? Awesome. Please come before the board and state your name.
Hello, I'm Samuel Flores.
Hello, Mr. Flores. I'm going to do the oath swearing. Make sure that you are honest with us. Let me pull that up. Please raise your right hand. I will now place you under oath. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And please say your name again.
I'm Samuel Flores, owner of Beta Barber 7.
Thank you so much. You can have a seat. And I'm apologies, I think I did that out of order today. If you could go ahead and give us a summary of the case.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Kathy Bergeron. On October 25th, 2023, I conducted an inspection at David's Barber Shop. I spoke to the owner, Samia Flores. During the inspection, I identified the following violation. I filed an actual personal license, Samia Flores, expired for 1 year, and it was October 2022. On December 22nd, Samia Flores renewed his license online, which expired now, as well as 2024. On December 29th, or December 18th, I conducted an inspection or an investigation at the David Barber Shop. During the investigation, I found Mr. David Lago Montero working on a customer with no Barber license. Mr. Flores said that they could work until they took their tip. Mr. Flores was given the wrong information from the store. I found no sanitation issues. You will see in the photos attached to this report. I verified David Lago Montero on the data or database and determined that there was no personal Barber license. I provided the licensee with the inspection report and educated them before removing. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
So I'm trying to understand the timeline. So in November of 23, the board received a complaint. And then you went out in December in response to that.
Yes.
Okay.
But there was also an oath.
Oh, yeah.
Combining together.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So one case is unlicensed worker. I'm sorry, I'm a little confused. Could you separate out like case? What's the first case?
First one was an inspection. And then I found he had it in that personal life.
During that inspection.
In that.
Okay. And then the second case.
There was an investigation.
And there still was an unlicensed person.
A different person.
I see a different unlicensed person with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Thank you. That was confusing. Okay, so that is the information we have before us. So, Mr. Flores, would you like to explain the situation to us?
Yeah, we just start with the first one with my license. Personally, I'm the owner of the shop, so the business license gets renewed every year. In my head, and I take full responsibility of it, I thought I had another year on my personal license. I have the license there, but very busy. I didn't really kind of look at it until she kind of mentioned it to myself. My establishment has been open for 3+ years. I've had somebody else come out at the beginning. Everything's all been up to date. I've been a professional barber for 8 years now. I've never had any issues in my life in this whatsoever. So I take full responsibility of that. Just being, I just lost track of it completely. Second part is a barber student who is finished his license in a barber school, a barber college, that I was told specifically that they were able to work in a barber shop so they get their, till they complete their test, meaning his hours were already completed. They still are. He's just having some issues with basically getting his license due to the fact that he's from Venezuela. He's basically having problems understanding the test. Therefore, when she came in, he doesn't work in the barbershop anymore. I told him to kind of sit down and look till we figure all this out. But that's been the only issue. I've never had any issues within my shop. I've always ran the barbershop professional, sanitary issues, no issues like that. My thing is, it kind of goes back to the schooling. You know, I was sitting here earlier, I've heard, you know, Mr. Knox sit there and say where current gaps within these schools are, you know, allowing certain people to work in these other shops unlicensed automatically, with even some of them not even going to school, working in shops. You know, once again, I kind of just feel that this is just a misunderstanding from them to me, or me, if I didn't hear it correctly. If you're finished with your life, if you're finished with your school hours, are you not allowed to work in a barber shop?
So why are we in school? Why are the schools telling those kids they're allowed? They shouldn't be.
So I understand and I hear you, but as the owner of the shop, the responsibility does fall to you to verify those claims if a student comes to you. So I think it's still something to consider.
One question I do have, this, I'm reading through the affidavit that you submitted. And there said that he's labeled under the apprentice program.
Correct.
So he was an apprentice or he was at their school?
No, he completed their school. But this is what I was told. He's allowed to work under you because you have a license as an apprentice, because he doesn't have a license. So that's how I worded it when I wrote the description.
Okay, you got two different things going on.
Okay.
I get what's going on.
Okay.
Mark Eddie over it. This is a
All-American.
All-American.
Yes, sir.
So what happened was, what it sounded like is he completed, I was at the school, correct? Then they told you, well, just let him work under you as an apprentice, correct? Which technically, because he probably was a testing, technically he shouldn't have. I don't even know if that's illegal. I don't think it's illegal to go to Marvin School and be an apprentice. But the thing is, the apprenticeship program is a totally separate program that you have to go apply to DES. So it is legal, but they didn't give you bad information. They just didn't give you all the detail.
I got you.
It is still legal for him to do that. It's nothing illegal about against going to school and if just being an apprentice.
Right.
The problem is you would have to file with DES saying it's, I'm taking him on as an apprentice.
And mind you, this is my, I've never done this before.
No.
Given a young man an opportunity, I've never done, everybody else in my life, in my establishment have the license, everybody's good to go. It's just, so I mean, like I said, I think it was just a little misunderstanding on my part. And, you know, I definitely take responsibility for not, you know, digging further and looking into this, but I mean, here we are, you know, so. And I kind of, the reason why I didn't just pay the fine, because I did want a kid.
Clarification.
Oh, I said I was still kind of confused on this.
So even like now, I don't know what his situation is with school. If you want to take him on as an apprentice, that's, I don't think there's any rule that says they can't.
As long as you apply and get approved through the DES process. So that needs to be, as a very, apprentice is a formalized term, is what.
Deputy Director Shepherd, as an apprentice though, you would be offering him classes in theory and school and certain hours, and there would be more requirements on your part for the teaching versus just letting him work.
I got you. Okay.
Any other questions from the board or motion?
I have a question. I don't even know who to direct it to, but with this, so even if you're an apprentice, and but he's just there taking time, yeah?
Correct. And he's only working, I only had him working on Saturday and Sunday with me.
Taking time.
Yeah, so it wasn't not like he's there every day. No, this, and like I said, he's been done with school. He's just having an issue passing that test. And I mean, unfortunately, I'm trying to help him, but he's having an issue with that.
So I think, you know, whether or not we like the apprentice program or any of us, you know, think it's a good idea or a bad idea, that's not what's before us necessarily. This is my opinion of what I think. I think Mr. Flores assumes that he had put this person as an apprentice in his shop without getting all the information, which he takes responsibility for. And that their apprentice program, whether we think it's a good idea or not, can be taking clients as long as they're offered educational opportunities, they can be practicing without a license in salon had they gone through that formal process of the DES application. Is that a fair understanding? Okay, so we don't get to judge on whether or not we like the apprentice process.
That's not fair.
Okay.
I move that we adopt the factual allegation, the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Is there a second to that motion? We have a motion to adopt.
Ms. Knox.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? All those abstained? Motion passes unanimously. We have adopted the findings of fact and conclusions of law. So what that is that we agree that this happened based on what's outlined in the investigative report. And so the next step is motions regarding either disciplinary action or motions regarding disciplinary action or any further discussion.
I move that we impose the following discipline as our order in this matter. The consent agreement for $500, civil penalty, and 12-month probation.
Is there any second to that motion? Hearing no second, motion fails. This is Brandy Flores. I would make a motion to give a disciplinary letter of concern as the resolution of these two cases.
I second, Chase Turrentine.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to administer a disciplinary letter of concern in cases number 2023-97 and 90187. All those in favor say aye.
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 Because we got two different things going on.
Yes, we have the motion. Yeah, I announced it for both cases. We have a motion and an active, and then we had ayes, and now I'll accept any nays to the motion.
Okay. So we sent in a letter of discipline for both?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nay.
Nay. Okay, so we have two nays, and we have Brandon to do stage aye. Okay. So any abstentions? I think everyone's covered. So the motion did pass, I think, 4-3, or 3-2. I 4-2. Sorry, I'm getting my numbers wrong. So we have the discipline is a disciplinary letter of concern. So there's no fine, there's no probation period, but a letter is on file that's considered disciplinary on your license and establishment, I believe. Let me look at the case just to make sure. It's on the light of the establishment and your personal license for that very letter of concern. But there is no fine. So I guess what I'm hearing from the board is that make sure that you check out how the apprentice program actually works, not just anyone who's taking class right. Can be an apprentice and work.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, any other questions for us? Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming down.
I appreciate you guys' time.
All right,
thank you.
Okay, I'm going to try to move along here to case number 3, which is 98612 Valley 48 Barbershop, number SCOS 32909, Valley 48 Barbershop LLP owner, and Matthew Ray Levin, member. Star 6 to unmute if you are virtual. Otherwise, please join us before the board. Anybody here in that case? Star 6 to unmute if you're on the phone. All right, it sounds like we don't have representative from 98612. So I can't remember. We recommend that we do a formal interview with the next.
Maybe a page or two down, you might have the wording.
Scripts there for that. No. I don't see any. Sorry, everyone. I'm just the acting chair. Let's see here. Okay, here we are. So here is the board action when the license details to appear for the internal interview. So in this case, I'm not necessarily going to stand back on making motions. Would anyone like?
Usually, Danny makes this.
He does. Yeah. Okay. Yes. All right. So I move the case number 98612 move to a formal hearing or in the alternative accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution of the case. Do I have a second?
Okay. Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, so all those in favor of the motion to move the case to formal hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, no abstentions because we've covered everyone. Motion passes. Case number 98612 is moved to a formal hearing. I'm going to move to the next case, which is number 498627, Linda Valenzuela Salon, number SDOF 26484, Via Cosmetics LLC owner, Linda Valenzuela, number 19812574, member, and Ernesto Amaro, member. Hello, so you are present today. Can you state your name?
Linda Valenzuela.
Linda, nice to meet you. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you, and we repeat your name. Thank you so much. And so now we have information from Lisa, our inspector. Can you tell us what happened in this case?
Good morning, Acting Chair Flores, the best source of the board. My name is Lisa. On November 16th, 2023, I conducted an inspection of Linda Valenzuela Salon in Phoenix, Arizona, and I spoke with owner Linda Valenzuela. During inspection, I found Barbara Rosario Monk working in a cosmetology establishment. At the time of the inspection, the salon didn't have a barber establishment license for Ms. Long to practice barbering under. I verified this information on the board database. Since I spoke to Linda about the violation, she wanted to apply for a barber establishment license right away. I provided the owner with an inspection report and educated her on the violation before leaving. There were no sanitation violations. On January 24, 2024, a barber establishment application was submitted and approved on January 26, 2024. The license number DBE002747, which expired on January 25, 2025. If you guys, if any of the boards have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
And I apologize for interrupting. Acting Chair, we do have an LLC attestation on file for this case.
Thank you. I should have asked. Okay, thank you so much. Linda, would you like to tell us what happened in this case?
Yes. Thanks for letting me explain my case. The reason I didn't have a barber license was because I received an email from you guys saying that the cosmetology and barber had united. And I assumed that I only needed one license. That's why I didn't have it. But years before, I did have it. And I have an email with you guys. And if I read it now clearly, it's like in detail, it's like, okay, I could go to your website and find both of them, the barbering and the cosmetology, but I still assume that it was only one license, thinking that you guys were united. And you know, it's very embarrassing because, I mean, it's like there's two different parts, but my understanding. But having you guys in one website, I'm assuming it's one license. I really did not intend to not pay the barbering. I'd rather pay the barbering than finally be here and wait for everybody. And I took a long time getting it because you guys were having trouble with the website. I have all these emails and phone numbers and pictures of you not like the. The website still works, it's not working, and I tried right away. It was not my intention to not pay for a barber.
Can we just check if she had one?
The prior?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have that paperwork, I should have brought it.
Also, acting chair and Mr. McGauley. Oh, would this like applying for licensure, would this have taken place during the sales board integration? That's where we,
yep.
Okay. Which would explain maybe issues of trying to get an application going.
Okay. Well, she tried to get an application going to her, so she needed one.
She said after the complaint, she was having trouble.
I know.
That was during the sales board integration. Data stuff. We heard a lot about at the end of last year and beginning of this year.
So I think it's worth noting just for, I guess, education going forward, there are a whole fleet of different types of licensure that the one United Board oversees. So there's, you know, you can get, I think, like a hair stylist license, you can get the whole full cosmetology, you get the barber license, you got the barber establishment, the salon license, but there's a lot of licenses with how it's in this one United Board, but I understand
the confusion. Yeah, I understand the confusion. I'm just wondering if there was the barber license.
I would just need the establishment name because the barber license.
She has one now.
But I just knew she had one before. That would be great. That she canceled what she thought the board had combined and it wasn't necessary.
The one picked up for you expires.
Yeah. Just the one that you let up. I just want to know if it was there.
Curious to know how long you've been in business. How long you've been in the salon?
That building has been 11 years. But I only had Barbara.
Why can't we need for the pad?
Who was there, Barbara? So what did you, you licensed your wife before?
When she started working with us, I got my Barbara license for the beauty salon.
Okay.
But then I didn't renew it because I thought it was the only.
Okay. And so we're just at a board member request for verifying that that it license exists.
Yeah, and I don't have the document. I wish I thought about it.
What's in the center for nothing since when other than the recent one that was established?
And maybe was that like a re, like maybe it wasn't the first time, maybe it was the updated or?
So you're gonna verify how like, and I don't know if that information was lost during the transition or if there was.
She's looking in the old system.
Okay.
Yeah, so it would have trans, so even in our new system, even if it was an expired license, it would still pop up in our system, just blank. And I would be able to pull up and look, but it's only showing the brand new one that we approved into 2024.
Can you check on the Miyaka study? When did it go to the, we extended it like a long Miyaka study?
She told us almost how it was.
Okay.
I'm trying to check and see in my files, but as soon as I hired her, I went on the website and read what I needed. I even had to post a little sign where the Barbara logo was placed.
John. Okay, so, you know, I don't know if board members have any other thoughts or questions or motions that they'd want to make in this case? Okay, so in this case, I'll make a motion. The board is silent. I'm going to make a motion. I believe, I guess my discussion or my explanation of the motion here is that I believe you, that was confusing when the board combined and we made an assumption and it was the wrong assumption, but you made it and if there was no intention to deceive the public or put the public at risk. And as also evidenced by the fact that there is a no sanitation violation to keep a clean salon, I don't think there was an intention to put the public at risk. So I'm going to make a motion to dismiss case number 98627. Any second on that motion?
Second, Marshall Marks.
Okay, so we have a second motion and a second to dismiss the case. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Tracy, did you vote?
I'm not aye.
You're not. Okay, sorry, I didn't hear your voice. So that motion passed unanimously. So we decided to move forward in dismissing the case. And so it is gone and not on your record, but please make sure to review the website and stay in touch with the board. There's been a lot of transitions over the past couple of years with the board, professionalizing it, the combination, obviously. So I understand there might have been some hiccups along the way, but I think you'll find it is a much more efficient, effective, and responsive board. So thank you. All right, so we are now moving on to case number 5. We're going kind of slow today. My apologies, everyone. INST-089488 Beyond the Clipper, number DBE 002117, Beyond the Clipper LLC owner, Mario Ismael Piata, B, number BAR000884, member and manager. You could join us. Hello there. Please state your name. All right, please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And one more time, I think you say your name. Thank you so much. Please feel free to have a seat. And then we have Inspector Lisa Chavez. Lisa, go ahead and share with us this case.
Good morning, Acting Chair Flores.
and members of the board. My name is Lisa Chavez. On August 31st, 2023, I conducted an inspection of the Yonda Slipner Barber Shop, and I spoke with owner Mario Ismael Quijada, who had just finished the haircut when I walked into the barber shop. Mr. Quijada stated his barber's license had been inactive for some time, and if I looked up his name, it would be his son's license. I confirmed what Mr. Quijada said. It turned out to be his son's license since his son's birthday was in 1994. This man was older than 30 years old. I'm so sorry. Mario Ismael Quijada is an unlicensed barber. I informed Mr. Quijada that I would be starting an inspection and found Alejandro Limon with a barber license that expired on April 3rd, 2018. This license has been inactive for 5 years, 9 months, and 24 days. The establishment license CDE002117 expired on June 30th, 2023. I verified all the license violations on the board's database. I provided the owner, Mr. Quijada, with an inspection report and educated him before leaving. On December 5th, 2023, barber establishment license BDE002117 was renewed and expires on June 30th, 2024. As of April 15th, 2024, Mario Ismael Quijada still does not have a barber's license. As of April 15th, 2024, Alejandro Limon, barber license BAR006041, remains inactive. Between the time of the inspection and the board meeting, the licensee has changed for his renewal up to 2022. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
Thank you so much. Any questions for the inspectors? Investigator? Okay, you want to tell us what happened?
I want to piggyback off the last report. So during that time, like I got updated to Lisa to kind of renew my barber establishment license. I was going through the same issues. I had the screenshot that I shared with her when she was sitting there. By the way, she was very helpful, very professional. But I was going through the same thing. You know, I saw some of the issues I was going through. I took some screenshots. I wasn't able to renew. But I'm not using that as an excuse. I should have done that earlier. Since then, my license has been renewed. Alejandro Limon was going through the process of trying to renew his license as well. Going through the same issue, he couldn't do it. So he no longer works at my shop. So he's been removed. Next day. I'm going through the process of enrolling in school. It's been a little difficult process, but that's beside the point. I'm working on getting some things resolved and get some things handled. So therefore, no excuses for me. I want to make sure I do the right thing, get the establishment going in the right direction. I have two barbers that are going through the licensing to become trainers as well. And then I've been talking to Kelly Holly in the apprenticeship program, which is like the on program. She has a lot of information, a lot going on, but I'm pushed to try to get this right.